Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 31 and 32. He was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. This is the text. It was 1940. Pretty much the entire continent of Europe had fallen to the Nazis. Britain alone stood. Winston Churchill was asked to gather together a government and lead the nation. He met with his cabinet and then with the House of Commons and told them the same thing. "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind, many, many long months of struggle and of suffering." And that was the message that they needed. Jesus took his disciples aside and he was teaching them. And what he was teaching them was, Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. You can sympathize with the disciples for not understanding. It has been that way since the beginning. It is that way in our day. The Christian church is sent out into the world to preach a message of salvation. And the message of salvation ends up being the cross. The Son of Man going to the cross and suffering and dying. There's a story that somebody wrote, fictional of course, about St. Paul and the advertising executive. Where St. Paul, just getting started as a preacher of the cross, is getting ready to head out on missionary journeys. And the advertising executive says, "Well, Paul, you're about to embark on bringing this message before the world. What do you have to tell the world? What do you have that will capture their attention? What logo, what symbol, what do you have?" And Paul says, "Well, I have this cross." At which point the advertising executive kind of loses it and says to Paul, "Are you out of your mind? You're going to set that in front of the world and say, this is what we want to call the world to? Don't you realize what that is? The cross, a place of suffering, the cross, an implement of execution and death. This is surely not what you want to set before the world." And Paul has to reply, "Well, yes, it is. Don't you realize that that will put people off and alienate them and drive them away?" And so Paul has these things that he says. He says, "Jews look for signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and offense to the Gentiles, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God to salvation." Time goes along. Paul preaches. Paul teaches. And Paul says something to the Corinthians that, well, let's see, it was Pastor Cash who said he took that as his theme verse for his time here in Chester. Without knowing that, I have taken the same as my theme verse for these years. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you say in response to that, well, can't you at least turn that from Christ crucified to Christ risen? And maybe the symbol instead of the cross ought to be the empty tomb. But no. Because you see, it is at the cross that you and I, we find the love of God most deeply expressed. It is at the cross of Jesus Christ that my sins, your sins, all of our sins, of every type and nature, every single one of those sins is brought together and laid on the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It is at that cross that God chooses to meet us. And we cannot step aside from, we cannot walk away from, we cannot improve the message of that cross. It is ours to take and to carry and allow God to decide how the message of the cross is received in our world. Many in our world will turn away from it. Many in our world will say they have no use for it. First two services, we had the children's sermon, and I asked the kids to come up and took several of the crosses and said, "What's this good for? Can you eat it? Can you use it for shelter? Can you take a cross and drive a nail with it and so build a house?" And the answer is no, 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 no. What is the cross good for? The cross is good for only one thing, and that one thing that the cross is good for is dying. And that's what we're setting in front of the world. That's what we put in front of our churches. That's what we put out on our steeples. We make little copies of the cross, and we wear them around our necks. A thing that's good for only one purpose, and that one purpose is dying. Furthermore, it's not just anybody who can use that cross. There is only one person who can use it for the proper purpose, and his name is Jesus. And he could use that cross only once for that proper purpose. And yet, in that one event, by that one person, the world finds the Savior that they actually need. Not a great moral teacher, but a Lamb of God who bleeds and dies for the world. And here comes the contrast. If you want a religion that will teach you how to be a better person, which will teach you as a sinner how to be improved, oh, there's all kinds of religions out there. Be a better sinner. List some of them: Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and on the list goes. How to be improved. Christianity stands completely separate and is the oddball religion because it does not tell how to improve the sinner. See, our message is that the sinner cannot be reformed, cannot be improved. The sinner has to be killed and then raised to life. So, how to illustrate this? Well, last weekend we had three deaths in the congregation we were dealing with. We had a funeral that needed to be tended to, and we did so. We had a graveside committal we needed to tend to, and we did so. And we had a little baby who needed to be brought to the front of the church and have water poured and words spoken and the old sinful nature killed in baptism. What does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. And again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So what we are dealing with is dying and rising. You cannot improve the sinner, because if you improve the sinner, what you get is you get a new and improved, desperately wicked sinner who rebels against God and then prides himself on how well he's doing. That's your new and improved sinner. You can't make friends with your old sinful nature, because your old sinful nature wants nothing to do with the spiritual things. So what happens here on Sunday mornings is dying and rising over and over and over again. The Word of God and the law of God puts us to death. The gospel in Jesus Christ raises us to life. That's the basic reality for us Christians. That means that we need a Savior who does not improve the sinner, who takes the sinner and carries the sinner through death, joining in the death of Jesus and into life, sharing in the rising of Jesus in the Easter message. That's what we have. Now we take that message, that message of the cross that should not attract people in our world, that cannot work, that is just simply impossible for it to spread. And over 2,000 years, what has happened? This message of the cross has become the religion of one-third of humanity. Who would have thought it? Not the disciples, they didn't understand. Not the crowds that followed Jesus, they kept asking, so what practical purpose is there in this message of the cross or this Lamb of God who comes to suffer and die? Remember how the crowd after the feeding of the 5,000 wanted to make Jesus a bread king? They had practical results that they wanted. Remember the other thief on the cross, not the one who said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom, the other one. The one who mocked Jesus and said, well, if you really are the Savior, then save yourself, come down from the cross and save us too, bring us with you. And mocked Jesus that there really was no practical use for such a Savior. TV preachers come along. One of them has written a book titled Your Best Life Now. I certainly hope not. The best for us Christians is to come, as at the end of this life we share in the life in heaven, as when Jesus returns we share in the bodily resurrection. All of this is what is set before us, and we are sent out into the world to confess Jesus Christ. Let me paraphrase Polycarp. Polycarp of Smyrna, an old man who stood before the governor and was prepared to be put to death. He said 87, I say 57, that's my age. 57 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I deny my King and my Savior? And the Christian church heads out into the world saying, this Jesus, this crucified Savior, really is the one that we need, because he doesn't improve us, he saves us. He doesn't make us better sinners, he puts to death and raises to life. And the way that he does that is through his own cross, joining himself to us and leading us through those things. In Jesus' name, amen.